Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Whether it's auto, home, life, business, look, they're the insurance professionals. You want to deal with the best. You want to also deal with somebody who cares about you. You're not a number. You're a customer. Customer comes first. Oh, if there's a claim, man, they will go to work for you right away. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Play-by-play call of the day. Notre Dame wins the national championship in women's basketball.
Ogumba Wale for the win. Arike Ogumba Wale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Adam Amin, our good friend with the call last night on ESPN, as Notre Dame hits two dramatic shots over the weekend to A, win the semifinal over UConn, and B, win the national championship over Mississippi State. They're second under Muffet McGraw. I'm going to say they won it in 2001 as well. Notre Dame did under Muffet McGraw. Congratulations to them. That was exciting.
How about that Friday night women's doubleheader? That was extremely exciting.
I watched the UConn Notre Dame fourth quarter and overtime. I did watch that. I did not watch a single second of last night's game. When you have all the grandchildren there at once, you lock in on all the grandchildren there at once. So I did not watch any of that last night. I did watch the fourth quarter of UConn-Notre Dame, which obviously was interesting to watch. Because Notre Dame had that thing won. It's very hard to do what Notre Dame did on Friday night, where you've got the game like to right to the threshold of winning. And then you yourself sort of foul it up, and the game's tied. Now you're expected to win it again. That's hard to do emotionally. Yet they did.
A little follow up from your conversation last hour of Dick Girardi regarding you got Penn State winning the NIT, Villanova with a great shot to take it all tonight, and there you have Philly native Muffet McGraw winning the crown last night for Notre Dame. Very, very cool.
Yeah, no, it's
Pennsylvania turning into a hotbed of hoops. Yeah. How about it?
Now, for the first time, I really had a chance to at least talk with her a little bit when we were out at Notre Dame. And very, very nice. You know, I mean, she was talking about all the injuries she had. She said, "You won't believe this." I mean, they were down to seven players. Seven. And they kind of looked at the soup possibility list. Sorry, that's a different story. Any possibilities you got this month, Sue? Seven? Oh. Okay. But that's great for them. Great for them. And you're right, yeah, you may end up getting a national champion out of Pennsylvania, and of course she's St. Joe's, I think, right? And of course Penn State winning the NIT. It's been quite a month. It also works. Penn State wins no matter what tonight. It's either two Pennsylvania teams or else two Big Ten teams. So it's, you know, either way it works out.
She won't be too far from Philadelphia. I read not too long ago she's going to be in Gettysburg for a speaking engagement coming up at the end of this month.
Yeah, again, I think she's a St. Joe's grad. And so, congratulations to them and to her.
You are correct.
The game tonight will be interesting. The problem is that if Villanova gets to 75, I don't think Michigan can get to 75. Here's the part that really struck me about how Villanova shot the ball Saturday night. Now, I don't expect them to shoot the ball like that tonight, not at all. But normally, the semifinals do not deal with great shooting. Why is it? In the finals, usually, you're okay in the final. You're okay in the final in terms of your ability to shoot the ball. Because going into the dome with depth perception is not easy. I mean, the court's right there in the center. It's not easy. And Villanova acted as if they were in a closed gym shooting the ball the other night. They hit 18 threes for the game. That's a record. Michigan, for the NCAA tournament, has given up only 18 threes. And again, I go back to, you've got to think outside the box when you coach these games. You've got to. And I go to Porter Moser, who did a great job at Loyola. But 3 minutes ago, I'm looking at the TV screen, 3 minutes ago, saying, I said, you got a foul. Well, what are we doing here? Now, I know they only had five team fouls, so they had to get a foul, boom. And then the second Xavier Simpson touched the ball, foul him. The second Charles Matthews touched the ball, foul him. You've got to get yourself extra possessions.
Look, I'm sensing a trend here. It goes back to the Florida State game in L.A. when everybody was, you know, piling on Leonard Hamilton. It was like, you're only down four with less than 15 to go. Why don't you foul there?
But he should have started fouling with 3 minutes to go. That was my point. My point was not being critical of him at the end. I don't, you know, that's fine. You know, you're down four. Okay, I got it. You know, because if they missed both the free throws 11 seconds ago, and say you foul him with nine, you're still down four, okay, when you get the ball back. But with 3 minutes to go, I need possessions. And Loyola could have forced the other night 3 1-and-1s. Now, if Simpson and Matthews had made all six of their free throws, hey, more power to them. But I got to play the percentages. I mean, you know, when it comes time to where you think you have to foul, Michigan's going to get the ball to Duncan Robinson. He's the 89% guy. But with 3 minutes to go, Robinson still has to give up the basketball. He still has to give it up. And the second Simpson touches it or Matthews touches it, you foul them and you put them on the line. You don't have to do it the second the ball is entered to Robinson. But you should do it the second Simpson or Matthews touches the ball. You've got to think outside of the box. You need possessions. And you're going up against a team that does not shoot free throws well outside of Duncan Robinson. What, Wagner's not that bad. I mean, Wagner's okay. He's a good free throw shooter. But if Matthew's only a 57%, you know. Simpson's at 50, or yeah, I think he was at 47 at one point. You've got to take your shot. You've got to get more possessions. Even if they get one out of two, and then you come down the floor, maybe you hit a two, so you knock a point off the lead, or you hit a three, you knock 2 points off the lead. That's your trade-off. And it's a, they didn't start fouling until a minute 22 to go, and it was the 16 foul when they did. Like, what are you doing? You got to do that with 3 minutes to go. You got to look at the game and say, how many possessions are left in the game? Now, I realize it's a big spot. I understand the emotion of it. But you've got to think outside the box to do these things, because once the game starts, it's a game. It's not the Final Four anymore. It's the game. And that's a one area I thought Porter Moser did a great job at Loyola. In the last 3 minutes of the game, he did not do a good job. He just didn't. And the reason he didn't is because you've got to think outside of the box. in that circumstance. You have to sit back and you have to calculate in your head. There's 3 to 3.5 minutes to go in the game. I'm losing by, what were they losing by, 7, 8 points? You've got to ask yourself, what's the weakness of the team I'm facing? And it coincides with the fact that I need possessions. Simpson is not a great free throw shooter. Matthews is not a great free throw shooter. That's my window of opportunity to potentially get more possessions. That's my window to open the door to get back in the game. And didn't do it. Didn't do it. And that's, I don't know. I see stuff like that, and I see it in today's game. Now, if they change the quarters and they play it the way the NIT was played, well, that now becomes a different strategy. But because the 1-1 is still in there, and it's part of the rules of the NCAA, you got to try and do what you can when you're behind to take advantage of it, and you can't do it in the last minute or minute and a half. When you're down multiple possessions, in this case, if you're down 7 or more, you're down 3 possessions in the game. You got to think about this in possessions, not points. If you're down 7 points, you're down 3 possessions. How do I get more possessions to help close the gap? How do I end their possession quickly and get the ball back into my hand so I can score and close the gap? How? And that's the way to do it. And you got to think outside the box. And not everybody thinks outside the box. And it's something that you see all the time. I see it all the time. How many times have you heard me now say it in the show in the past month? I talked about going into the Big Ten tournament. That, guess what? That's something you've got to look at with Michigan. They're going to be in the Penn State game. When Penn State played Michigan, Penn State was in a foul mode. Okay. So now they have to foul. Got it. Now, what they did was, is they put Simpson 60 feet away from the ball. I made the point of the broadcast right away. I said, Simpson's 60 feet away from the ball. They put him in the front court because they didn't want him anywhere near. I'll throw it into Robinson. Robinson gets trapped. Now the return pass goes, oh, it is Simpson. I mean, they know it. And Tony Carr declaring today for the NBA draft. Look, is Penn State a better team now that Tony Carr has declared for the NBA draft and is going to offer an agent? No, of course not. Of course not. Tony Carr is an exceptional player. That's why he's opting for the NBA draft. Now, the one part of his decision I don't agree with is the agent part. But again, I don't know Tony's family circumstances. So I can't speak to that. I always would like to keep my options open. But by going with an agent, he's closed off his options. He's all in on this. Okay. Well, since he's all in, I'm not going to sit here and complain about, oh, no, he's leaving the whole thing. Look, you move on. I mean, Penn State has to move on without Saquon Barkley next season. Basketball has to move on without Tony Carr. And Penn State basketball is in a better spot now compared to the day Tony Carr walked in. And do not discount the recruiting part of it. Don't discount it. It is a big deal when you're talking to major recruits. Every one of them has a dream that can get to the show. Tim Frazier's already in the show. He's with the Wizards right now. Tony Carr, he'll be drafted. I have no doubt he's going to be drafted. Now, where he gets drafted, I don't know. Right? But say next year Penn State's got 2 guys in the NBA. There's nobody now that can sit there and recruit against Penn State and say, what do you want to go there for? What do you want to go there for? You can't get to the NBA. And believe me, that is not a small part in recruiting. That is a big part in recruiting. So you've got to take something out of this, and you can't go with the, oh, here we go, big step back, they lose them. You've got to make it work for you. You got to make it work for you. Well, guess what? You now can look at recruits and say, hey, guess what? They can develop you, and we can develop you into an NBA player. Tim Frazier got there with us. Tony Carr got there with us. All right? So now that's off the boards. That's off the board. I can go to Penn State. I can thrive, and I can go to the NBA draft. And not only that, but I can go there and look at the improvement Tim Frazier made. Look at the improvement Tony Carr made. They can coach me in that direction too. I mean, you got to make this. You got to make it thrive and work for you. You know, the second you start seeing that, oh, there we go. What are we going to do? Oh, yeah, fine. What are we going to do? Oh, no. Oh, lost a guy to the NBA draft. Okay, well, then you might as well just be a cellar dweller if that's your attitude. But if you have the ability to be smart, big picture, and make it work for you, then you make it work for you. That's how you make it work. You make it work by saying, guess what? You can go to Penn State. And you can get where you want to go by going to Penn State. You can get there with us. And guess what? They've got proof. Now, would Penn State have been a top 25? Would Penn State have been a top 15 team next season with Tony Carr? Absolutely. They'd have been a preseason top 15, top 18 team next season with Tony Carr. Without him, I would say without him going into next season, Penn State will be, I'd say, maybe not top 25, but receiving votes in the preseason. How about that? Because I think what's lost in all of this is that you've got to take into account everybody else. Because you get so tunnel vision fixed on your team, you forget about everybody else. So let's take a moment, right? And that's why we have the show, because you got to be able to talk these things through. So we have the show to talk it through so that you get out of the tunnel vision sometimes, right? So let's talk it through. Let's talk about Purdue. They're losing four senior starters. Now, Harms will be back. Now, Carson Edwards has already put his name into the draft, but he's not getting an agent. His situation will be interesting. But Purdue, which has some good recruits coming in and so forth, but those four seniors logged a lot of minutes. Okay. Michigan State. Bridges and Jackson have both officially declared. They're in. So now, and of course, Schilling's going to be gone. Carter's going to be gone. It's going to be interesting to see. Now, they've got some big recruits coming in as well. But we'll see how it meshes. Ohio State. Boy, did they do a lot around Cade Bates-Diop. He's already opted for the draft. He's gone. Plus, Cam Williams is gone. Plus, Jayshon Tate is gone. Chris Holtman is blunt. They're looking for fifth-year transfers. I listened to him interviewed the other day on SiriusXM. He says, look, we're going to be looking at the fifth-year group. I mean, this is what's surrounding you, okay? You got to remember, it's not just you losing players. Other schools are losing players. We don't know what's going to become of Copeland or Palmer from Nebraska. They both opted for the NBA draft. Then there's Michigan. A lot of people think Wagner's going to go. Matthews will probably stay. Wagner will probably go. Teske's going to be really good, by the way. I think Teske's going to... obviously, Rockman's gone. And Jaron Simmons will be gone. So Michigan's going to have to rework a couple of things. So other people lose people. Now, I'll tell you one that's gaining one is Maryland's going to get Jackson back. And they'll probably get Bender back, whatever. Okay? Now, Deion Wiley's transferring out, but he's, to me, a marginal player. So you got to look at what other people are doing, too. You just can't sit there and go, oh, that's it. They lost Tony Kermit. Well, he's not the only guy in the league to go. The league will be changing over, and Penn State's still going to have Watkins, probably the best center in the league. Still going to have Reeves, maybe the best all-around player in the league. Still going to have Stevens, one of the top stretch fours in the league. Now, how do you build around them? Harris going to be just fine. I think everybody can tell that now. Wheeler's got to get better offensively. Defensively, he's a gem. Where do Dredd and Bolden fit in? And do they then pick up themselves maybe a grad transfer with this opening? That makes a difference. You got to think bigger than just what you have. You got to think about what the other guys have to see where you fit in the pecking order. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance may be, they we'll find you the right insurance, the best price, and they'll price shop for you. They'll find you that best price. And if there's a claim, they'll jump in as if it happened to them, because as far as they're concerned, it did. You're the customer. You're not a number to them. You mean something to them. So if you need their help, they're right there for you. That's why you have insurance. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tony Carr opting today for the NBA draft. Zero surprise. The key part was is that he did say he was going to get an agent. That means his Penn State career is over with. That's the one part of this I'm not... You know, and again, I don't know enough about Tony's home situation, but that's the one part of this I'm not on board with. I'm not on board with the, I mean, it's his decision, but I would have left myself at least some options here. But what's done is done. And is Penn State a better team without him? Absolutely not. Of course they're not. But can Penn State still be a really good basketball team next year without him? Yes, they can. Now, you lose Shep Garner. You lose a valuable reserve in Julian Moore. And you lose Tony Carr. Those three key guys that you lose out of your top eight. But you got one of the better stretch forwards of the Big Ten. You've got maybe the best all-around player in the Big Ten. And you've got a center that a lot of schools would love to have. And a backup to him that you really like. You got two recruits coming in that they're very high on. Now, it's a lot to expect as to what they would do to then, in turn, replace two excellent college players in Shep Garner and Tony Carr. But you do that collectively. A guy like Josh Reeves can play with the ball in his hands. He played point many times in the last month of the season. He played point while Tony played off the ball. And the other part now is, what does Penn State do here with the additional scholarship? Do they go the grad transfer route? Chris Holtman is very blunt. Ohio State's looking for a couple of grad transfers in the recruiting cycle. Chris Todd has been very open talking about that. Does Penn State go that route? And what does the shape of the team look like if that comes to fruition? Again, these are things that have got to be taken into account here. With Tony Carr, Penn State probably is a top 15 to top 20 team. Without him, I still expect them to be a team receiving votes in the preseason. But are they better without him? Of course they're not better without him. But can you still make it work? Yes, you can. Dick in Milton joins us. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Steve. I don't usually comment on basketball other than when I was up to the Ohio State game, and we talked about that. But I'm telling you what, for the first time in a long time, I've actually been rather excited about Penn State basketball in the future, irrespective of Tony Carr staying or not staying. I think they have a lot of key players, and they're young, pretty young guys with a lot of experience in big games now. So you just never know what you're going to have. Guys could be injured. You could lose a guy through an injury that you didn't count on either. So I guess my point being is, I think they're going to be fine with or without Tony Carr. And the other thing I wanted to comment on, Mike, I told some guys, and I'll let you go at this. I was excited enough about Penn State basketball to think that possibility they would take the drapes off the top thing and start putting people up there again. I mean, because I was there when Parkhill, and they filled it.
Yeah,
years ago, and will it ever come back? That I don't know. Only because of the mechanics of it's not the best basketball arena for the fan. But irrespective of that, I think it could get a lot better.
The last five regular season home games, Penn State basketball averaged 11-6. That's not bad. You can live with that.
Yeah, I understand that. It's always been a stepchild to wrestling and football in a sense lately, and then ice hockey came along. And ice hockey, of course, fills their place, which is nice. Not quite as big a venue, but they do fill it. So, but basketball, I would be happy to see them get where that top tier was, half full, three quarters full, big games maybe even filled up again.
And it's also, it's also the key for basketball. If you're an athletic department, is this. It's the difference maker that can bring in a little more additional revenue for you. You can squeeze as much revenue as possible out of football. Basketball, because you talked about the ability to get more people into the building. Say they were to have a good year where they averaged over 10,000 a game. Right? I didn't say 12, 13, 14, 15. But if you went from 7,200 a game like they had this year, that includes the NIT game.
Right.
So now averaging maybe around 10,000 a game. You're talking about 3,000 more people per game times 19 games. Plus the TV contracts are bigger now, which helps. That now becomes a difference maker that helps everybody else in the athletic department out.
Well, as I say, I was pretty keyed up about the basketball team as a whole when they went through the NIT like they did, and with the team that they had coming back, minus Shep Gardner, everybody always got a few seniors, and here they had a good one there. But with Carr going, they'll still be pretty good. I can't see them not being pretty darn competitive in the Big Ten. That's the key to me. Non-league games don't mean a lot. You got to be competitive in that Big Ten, in the upper tier even.
Yeah. And that's why I tried to point out. In other words, they aren't the only ones in this boat. Cade Bates, Diop went, Bridges went, Jackson went. You go through everybody, four seniors for Purdue going. Edwards has put his name into the draft. So did Nick Ward, but neither one of them got agents. I mean, so there's a lot of flux here in this area, and so Penn State's not in an unusual spot. And sometimes you get so locked. I'm not saying you, Dick, but sometimes certain fans will get so locked on their team, like, oh my goodness, what? Oh, wait a minute, you didn't realize that other people lost. They are in the same boat and lost people, too. So there's a balancing act here, and I think they're in a better position to absorb this now than obviously they would have been a couple of years ago.
Well, I agree with that. As I say, to me, it's exciting. You know, you look forward to football, you look forward to wrestling, and a lot of people look forward to ice hockey. But once again, I was actually looking forward to basketball, and to me that's something I haven't really been thinking about for quite a while at Penn State, not at this level. I mean, I know they play it, and it could be competitive. It's your part of your job. But for a fan, it could be a big deal again.
Yeah, because they went 13-5 their last 18 games. And, you know, when you go 13-5 your last 18, that includes the Ohio State wins, beating Maryland, beating Marquette, beating Notre Dame, Mississippi State, Utah. It wasn't exactly like they ran through the Little Sisters of the Poor. I mean,
no,
NCAA tournament teams, but they were very good teams.
I mean, there were some Big Ten games that they should have won but didn't win only because they kind of like folded their ten before the end of the ball game.
Yeah. Yeah, so. The ability, you got to be able to finish, no doubt. You're right about that.
Well, they've kind of learned that at the end of the season anyhow. So
They did, and that's how you're able to go through the NIT the way they did, because after the Temple game was the only close game they had. I'm talking to somebody sitting there. I'm watching the Notre Dame game. Midway through the third quarter, you could tell over. Marquette game, you could tell beginning of the fourth quarter, first couple of minutes, game was over. Mississippi State was not competitive. Utah wasn't competitive. I said to Dick on Wednesday before the guest, I said, they'll beat Utah by double digits. You could tell. I mean, they athletically didn't match up with Penn State.
Well, next year there could be no excuses because they're not going to be young anymore. They're going to be juniors and some seniors.
That's right.
And, you know,
that's
you
right.
Can't use that and say, well, they're just young guys learning the system. That's over with.
Well, in fact, I think I've been terming it the right way the entire time. And Pat Chambers even said to me, I like how you say that. I said, you're making the turn from being a young team to being a veteran team. I said, that's where you are in the ante. You're making that turn. You're now making the turn to being one of the older teams. That's what they are.
One of the nice things about they have enough guys that have played a lot of basketball that they don't have to rely on some freshman walking in the door to save the program. They can bring those kids along slowly.
They can. I mean, I think that's where Reeves comes into play. Reeves played a lot of point for them and ran the show for them many times. They took Tony off the ball at times and made Tony more of an off guard at times. I think people forget about Reeves' playmaking ability, where it doesn't have to be thrust upon a sophomore in Wheeler or maybe a freshman in Bolden to take care of the ball handling in certain situations, because Reeves already does that. And I think sometimes that is forgotten or isn't realized by people who don't watch Penn State closely enough.
Well, I'll let you go. I'm kind of excited yet, no matter what they're doing. I think they played well, and they've earned fan support.
And that's what you have to do these days. You have to earn fan support. And I think this team did earn fan support. They had to work for it. And they gave those fans starts and stops in terms of fits at times. But in the end, I think they earned the fan support they ended up getting.
I mean, sometimes they played better on the road than they did at home for whatever. Some teams will just do that. But I guess my point being is you got to worry about that team doesn't want to come into your building.
You know what's interesting about that point that you make? Penn State was actually 15-4 at home. I know what you're saying, though.
Right.
Listen to this stat, Dick. This is crazy. Penn State was 15-4, yet Penn State averaged 1.08 per possession on the road and 1.06 at home. They're actually points per possession were less at home than on the road. That's crazy.
Maybe they just played more carefree basketball.
Who knows? I don't know. I can't answer it. I know they were 15-4 at home, which is really good, but every time I look at that stat, because I've got it on my chart, I've got overall, home, and away on my chart. I keep track of all three. And every time I look, their points per possession are lower at home than on the road. That's not the way it usually works.
Well, as I say, I'll let you go. It's going to be a nice thing when you get towards the end of football season. People will be anticipating basketball besides wrestling this year, next year, to me, anyhow.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think it's great for the campus. Look, I said in a speech in Harrisburg 2 years ago that I thought Penn State, in my opinion, was heading into what we're all going to look back years from now as a golden era. And the reason I said that was I felt football was really on that track where they're going to be mostly great year in and year out. Wrestling's always great, and they're going to keep winning championships. Hockey has put itself in a great position. I felt basketball was about to get in that position. And I said, I think 15 years from now, we're going to look back at this time, and we're going to look back at this as a golden age of Penn State sports. Now, it's at least they've started in that direction. We'll find out if it comes to fruition.
I think you're on the right track with the whole thing, Steve. Okay, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up in a moment. More phone calls if you want to jump in at 800-795-9565. We also have an 800 number if you'd like to say hi to the suit as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Well, you know what? You get to this point. You know, look, he's here 2 years in the ops out. I mean, this has never happened for Penn State basketball before. Welcome to the real world. You know, it's. Would you love to see Saquon Barkley back? Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'll give you a good example in football. Aaron Maven. There is no doubt in my mind, and no doubt in Jack Ham's mind, that when he opted for the NFL draft, the two of us looked at each other and said, look, he is, quote, a one-trick pony. He rushes the passer, and he's, you know, not quite big enough to be an NFL defensive end, and he's too big to be an outside linebacker. Okay. But he opted for the NFL draft. Well, he ended up getting picked 14th in the draft by the Buffalo Bills. Well, he got a gigantic signing bonus. And he got a guaranteed contract and the whole thing. Aaron Maben's doing great. Now, in the end, did he make the right choice? Financially, yes, he did make the right choice. Was I wrong about his financial choice? Absolutely, I was wrong. Now, would it have benefited him to come back for another year and play college football to make himself a better all-around player? Of course it would have. But financially, did he make the right? Yeah, he made the right choice. Well, for Tony Carr, and we don't know all of Tony's, you know, his personal background in terms of, you know, how the family is financially and so forth. You know, so what's done is done. I'm not going to sit here and criticize his decision for making a decision for himself, his family, to go to the draft. I mean, the one part that I would have changed if I pulled him aside, like, Tony, don't hire an agent. Don't do this. Right? That's the one part I would have told him. Straight out, don't do that. Leave your options open. Jacob Evans from Cincinnati just declared today. He's not going to hire an agent. He's going to leave his options open. ESPN, though, has him rated the 24th player in the draft. But he's going to go through the process, and he likes what he hears. Then he'll hire an agent. That would have been my advice to Tony. That is absolutely consistent with every single thing I have said on this show for about 6 weeks. I have said the entire time, right, Sean? That he should put his name into the draft. I've been very open about that.
DJ said the exact same thing. To soak in as much information as you can,
right,
and get enough analytics from as many people that have, you know, tremendous basketball acumen. You know,
and then if you like what you hear, stay in and get an agent and go from there. I've been very open about that. The one thing he did today was he announced he was going to get an agent, which ends his career. Okay. Now, his career isn't over until he actually hires the agent, but he says he's going to do that. That's the one area I would look at him and say, Tony, no. Go through the process, see what they say, be smart about this. Right, let them give you answers. If he had gone through the process one other time, because you're allowed to do it twice, You are allowed to do this twice. Okay? After that, you don't go through the, you know, once you declare the third time, you're in. You're either in, you're in or you're out. So say he, you know, and he did not. He did not go through the process last year. Did not do it. So he still had another option available. Now, I understand injuries. But I would have liked to at least give myself a little bit of leeway here. Take Jackson of Michigan State. He's not only considered to be a lottery pick. He's considered to be a top five pick. He has to go. Bridges didn't do much for his stock at all by coming back. He's still in about the same spot he was last year in terms of draft position. So Bridges did not change his spot. The one area that does change next year, and I pointed this out, the crop of high school seniors, currently high school seniors across the country, is thin compared to the Bagleys and the Carters and the Jacksons and people like that. There's not as many guys considered to be one-and-done possibilities in next year's draft, which opens the door for more underclassmen. Okay. But that's all water under the bridge now. So what do you deal with? You deal with your entire front, starting front court coming back, along with two reserves who played a lot at the five and at the three spots. So there's five guys there. Now you have to replace your entire starting backcourt. You got Wheeler coming back, but this is where Dredd and Bolden. Now you're gonna. That's a lot to put on two kids. That's a lot to put on two kids. But at least you're putting it more on two kids that are very talented. Dredd is a very talented shooter. Good offensive player. In fact, if I were going to pick a player that you'll see tonight, watch Jordan Poole play of Michigan. Jordan Poole is a lot like Miles Dredd. Okay? Bolden is a lead guard. There's no doubt about that. And he is a scorer. But it's still going to be a lot to put on them to replace approximately 2,700 points in their respective careers. 1,600 for Shep, over 1,100 for Tony Carr. It's a lot. And not only that, Carr is a 6'5 guard where they gave you the versatility of posting up. They ran key inbounds plays to him where they use him in a post-up spot where you make that catch, either posting up or make that catch right at the elbow. And so you lose certain elements. And a 43% three-point shooter. Tony Carr's a terrific player. Outstanding college player. Is it a big loss for Penn State? Yes. But now you got to make it work for you. Tony Carr goes to the NBA draft. Tim Frazier's already there. So now that recruiting part of, like, well, don't go to Penn State. You'll never get to the NBA going there. That's now off the boards. You can get there by coming here. You have to take something like this and you have to make it work for you. If you're smart about it, you will make it work for you.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.